have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches we carry be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. Is it the Lord God who helps me? It will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. You may be seated. Jesus went with the 12 to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go there."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him."
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him.
Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for the testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said,
"This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'"
The high priest stood up and said,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
"He deserves death."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came and said to him,
"You also are with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When he went out to the porch, another serving girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you were also one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then he began to curse and swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
At that moment, the cock crowed.
Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death.
They bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor.
When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
What is that to us? See to it yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself.
But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
"It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money."
After conferring together, they used the money to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners.
For this reason, that
field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophets, Jeremiah, and they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed.
Now at the festival, the governor had an custom to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. And at the time, they had a notorious prisoner called Judas Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him saying, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him."
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
"Barabbas."
"Then what shall I do with Jesus who's called the Messiah?"
Let him be crucified.
"Why? What evil has he done?"
Let him be crucified.
Let him be crucified.
Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
His blood be on us and on our children.
So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took a reed and struck him on the head. And after mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they'd offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. And when he tasted it, he would not drink it.
When they crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him.
Over his head they put a charge against him, which read,
This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.
Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests also, among with scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him."
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way.
From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m.
And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?"
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"This man is calling Elijah."
At once one of them ran out and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it him to drink. But the other said,
"Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many.
Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly this man was God's son."
Many women were there also, looking out from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. The new liturgical trend for Sunday of the Passion, or Palm Sunday, which we celebrate today, is to remove the reading of the Passion until the end of the service, so that we celebrate his procession, triumphal procession into Jerusalem for the first half of the service, and go through the Eucharist on that note, and then end by the Passion, the path into Holy Week, and then depart in silence when it's over. I guess Robert didn't get the memo. At any rate, my point about this day and this week is it's a story of two processions. The first is the triumphal procession into Jerusalem, where they waved the palms and shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Hosanna to the King of Kings." So in this one opening verse, this one opening procession, we proclaim who we deem him to be, whom we want to be our King, our God, our hero, fulfilling so much of Old Testament prophecy. However, on the other hand, we conclude Palm Sunday and enter into Holy Week, and we'll read again on Good Friday his Passion, the story of his death. Which of these two processional themes do you think defines us the most? Would that it were his kingship. We could always just enjoy and praise him for being our King, the source of light and life forever and ever. But unfortunately, the world don't work that way, because so much of the world is steeped in violence. All around the world, if we don't like a neighbor who's doing well, we invade them and wipe them out. If we don't like somebody who's building up a neighboring country, we threaten them with nuclear war. If we don't like somebody who's taken our land or moved in next to us, we threaten them and expose them. If we don't like people who want to come into our land for a better life, we say, no, no, get out of here. Violence is the order of the day. Violence is our human nature. Violence is the way we live, move, and have our being. Think about it. You watch NASCAR and going round and round and round. What do you cheer for? The wrecks. The violence. Football. Now I know when one guy had a heart attack, we were stunned and we stopped the game and didn't play the rest of it. But isn't that what it's really all about? Which team can hit the other team the hardest? Violence. And then, of course, there's the fear that policemen have nowadays, that they need to arm themselves as military and be prepared to shoot and then ask questions later. And then there's a proliferation of guns that cause mass killings throughout our land, where our children are learning more about how to duck and cover than how to share and learn and grow with one another. Violence. It's become our lifestyle. It's become our way to live, move, and have our being. I was rather appalled to hear a congressman from our state say, you can't do anything about it. If somebody wants to kill you, they're going to kill you. You can't stop it. You can't curb it. You can't control it. Violence is the way we live, move, and have our being. He might as well have hit him with a whip. He might as well have praised him as a fool of a king. He might as well have platted a crown of thorns and mashed it on his head. And the people who had on one day in the week said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, were convinced to say, let him be crucified. Give us Barabbas. Let him be crucified. Give us a violent man instead of a man of peace. Violence. It's become a way of life. Not that it hasn't always been, because Cain killed Abel, showing that from the very beginning of time, violence is a part of who we are. And yet, in the midst of his suffering, of his violent death, which we celebrate this one week out of the year more than any other time, he turned to one who tried to defend him and said, put away your sword. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. How can we listen to this and still claim to live in this violent world where nothing can be done? If somebody's going to get a gun, they're going to kill you, they're going to kill you. We can't do anything to curb it at all. And yet Jesus says, those who live by the sword perish by the sword. Maybe there is nothing we can do about it. And yet there is one more procession that I need to hold up to you. Once Jesus gave himself in the name of our violence and came through it with new life, proving that love and a peaceful response to those who are violent to us is far stronger than any death we can achieve or can be given to us. So the third and perhaps most important procession is that which is done ritually on Easter morning, when we come from darkness into light and pause along the way to say, "The light of Christ, thanks be to God." When we move from the darkness of the grave to the light of the resurrection, when we see that the hope is not in how much we can counter violence with violence, but how we can follow him in the way of peace and offer ourselves and take the risk of standing up against violence with alternatives of peace, alternatives of love, alternatives of true thoughts and prayers, wherein we move towards a more peaceful society, wherein we look for ways to seek and serve Christ in others, loving our neighbors as ourselves, so that when we pass from death into life, from darkness into light, we may truly sing, "The light of Christ, thanks be to God. The light of Christ, thanks be to God." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. You alone are God. Sustain your church in times of wilderness. Give vision and wisdom to bishops, their staff, and all entrusted with the ministry of administration. Counsel all who faithfully lead your people into the future. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You create verdant gardens and expansive deserts. Tend to the needs of every living creature. Bless those who work in fields and orchards, that the world is nourished by the fruits of their labor. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You know our temptations. Sustain those who govern and legislate. Instill in them a sense of your justice and righteousness, that equity and peace would pervade all the regions and nations of the world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You are a hiding place for all in distress. Draw near to exiles and accompany all refugees and immigrants, especially children who travel alone. In times of trouble, trauma, or illness, surround your people with your steadfast love. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You offer abundance to all. Bless the ministries of hospitality in this place. Care for those who tend to the needs of others, especially worship greeters, coffee hour hosts, and nursery attendants. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You come to us in times of trouble. Bless those who we now name: Ava, Belinda, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Joy, Julianne, Kelly, Cindy, Debbie. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You alone are God. We praise you for the faithful departed in every age. Unite our prayers with theirs until our wilderness journey is complete and we rest in you. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God. trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
And now, kneeling or standing as you are able, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here today. A couple of quick announcements. This is the first Sunday of the month, so the loose plate offering goes to the rector's discretionary fund. That's how we as a church help those in need in our neighborhood and around the community. Also, reminder for anybody that doesn't know it, next Sunday is Easter. So we are having a potluck at 9:15, so bring one of your favorite dishes to share. Then we will have our Easter service as normal, and then there will be an Easter egg hunt and ice cream and honey afterwards. So hopefully everybody will be here and we can celebrate Easter together. And finally, the sign up for the food pantry is out in the Northix. So if you are so inclined, please sign up. Thank you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Well, I need to take communion out. Well, we need to take communion out to those infirm up there. Is there maybe three?
The highway to Bethlehem was rocky and worn as Mary rode faithfully to that first Christmas morn.
eyes for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,
the Lord be with you.
Amen.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to our thanks forever.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, for our sins he was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself. And by his suffering and death, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. For on the night in which he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father. By this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer, Redeemer of the world. The gift of God for the people of that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. body and blood of Christ keep you in everlasting life. Can we just do this? Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.